Doug Swanson is an investigative reporter at the Dallas Morning News. He's also been a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in feature writing. Doug has written 5 crime novels, including Big Town, which was a finalist for the prestigious Edgar Award. Today we'll speak with Doug about his new title, Blood Aces, The Wild Ride of Benny Binion. Welcome, Doug, and thanks for joining us on the Book Report.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
How did you become aware of Benny's story?
I had been semi-aware for a long time because I've been a reporter in Texas for many years and covered police and crime news. So the name Benny Binion is still mentioned in crime circles here. And also I covered the World Series of Poker at one point. So I knew a little bit about Binion, but I didn't know the full story. In fact, I had no inkling of the full story until I got in and started doing some of the research. It was far more fascinating than I had initially understood.
I would have to agree with you there. You wrote, "You can't understand the town of Las Vegas without understanding Benny Binion. He put the gamble in Vegas." Why is he not as well known as, for example, Bugsy Siegel?
Well, that's a good question, and that's one I pondered myself. I think part of it is there had been no full biographical treatment of him, which I was delighted to find out, and so that was why I did the book. Second, I think there's the Hollywood angle. You know, Bugsy Siegel has been the subject of a number of films, and most famously, Bugsy, the film by Warren Beatty, which is a really good movie, but his history is completely off its rocker. I mean, it's just wrong. And Bugsy Siegel did not have that primary role that the film gives him. So there's a little bit of Hollywood misdirection here, and there's a little bit of just undeserved neglect of Binion's role. Out in Las Vegas, you can find a lot of people who knew Benny and will still talk about him. But outside of Vegas and outside of Dallas, he was just not well known.
You wrote that bootleggers could make in 1925 in Dallas $36,000. That's an amazing chunk of change. How many guys were pulling down that kind of money?
Well, Benny did it well. I don't know that everybody made that kind of money, but he claimed he never made all that much money doing it. But he was what he had done. He tapped into the best moonshine in the area. Now, there was a lot of bad moonshine running around. It had lead in it and other adulterants, and it would cause you to go blind or cripple you. And Benny brought in the purest stuff. So he soon had a reputation for having a good product. But he was always interested in getting in gambling. He wanted to get out of bootlegging and get into gambling. Bootlegging was just a stepping stone for him.
Well, Benny moved up to the dice games and attracted such players as Howard Hughes and H.L. Hunt. How did he get into those big leagues?
He was lucky. He was around in 1936 when the city of Dallas pretty much deregulated gambling. They didn't take it off the books. They didn't take the laws off the books, but they stopped enforcing the laws. So Benny came along at that time, and he saw his opening. He moved in, started his operations, and bought off the cops, bought off the judges, eliminated his rivals either by buying them off or by having them killed, and he soon controlled everything in Dallas and North Texas. So if you wanted to gamble at a high-stakes game, you were most likely gambling at a table controlled by Benny Binion.
You know, I love the story of what Benny did at the funeral of Clyde Barrow of Bonnie and Clyde fame. Can you share that?
Sure. Clyde Barrow, of course, died in the shootout in Louisiana, but he was brought back here to Dallas to be buried. In fact, I'm looking out the window now toward West Dallas. I can almost see the cemetery where he was buried. But when that happened, Benny Binion, supposedly, according to the story, got someone in an airplane to fly low over Barrow's funeral and drop a wreath onto the grave. It was typical of Benny Binion to cultivate people like that. I mean, he engendered loyalty, or he engendered fear, one or the other, sometimes both. But that's just the way he operated. He had a great eye for the common touch.
Okay, so speaking about fear, can you estimate how many men Benny murdered himself or ordered hits for?
No, I can't. I wish I could. That's one of the big questions. He admitted only to killing 2 people personally. He killed a rival bootlegger, and he killed a rival gambling operator. He never served any time because, as I said, he owned the authorities. What Binion did after that was he assembled a cast of hitmen who worked for him. And how many people they killed, that's anybody's guess. There are any number of bodies buried around or blown up or otherwise dispatched because they crossed Benny Binion. But if you can only, if you want to go strictly by the evidence, you can only pin two deaths on him.
We're speaking with Doug Swanson on The Book Report. What made Benny move to Las Vegas, or to put it another way, get out of Dodge?
Well, he had, as I said, he owned the sheriff, he owned the DA, he owned the police department, he owned the judges. But he then got caught in a bad situation because a reformed district attorney was elected, and a sheriff was elected who was aligned with one of his rivals. So Benny was told, you either need to get out of town or you're going to get killed or arrested. So he loaded up his Cadillac, supposedly with $1 million in cash. He got two of his henchmen with their Tommy guns and headed out for Las Vegas. And he rolled into Las Vegas in 1946 when the town was still not much of anything, just a few casinos scattered around downtown and a couple places out on the strip. And he was in the right place at the right time to be one of the founding fathers.
Right. Benny owned the Horseshoe, and then he turned that into the center of the craps universe. Then, of course, he created the World Series of Poker. Talk about that.
Yeah, he was, he never wanted to have a place where you could come see a band or watch the chorus girls or anything like that. He always said he didn't want his money flowing out of the end of some guy's trumpet. He ran a gambling spot, and if you were a high-stakes gambler, that's where you went in Vegas. The World Series of Poker, he started in 1970 as just sort of a sideshow. He brought in a handful of the best poker players in the world. He cleared a space on his casino floor for the poker table, which he didn't have initially, and let them play and invited people to watch. And his desire, his hope was that some people would come in to watch this poker game and then would drift off to the casino tables and, you know, lose money at blackjack and dice and other games. He never thought that the World Series of Poker was going to be all that big. His biggest ambition for it was to have maybe 50 players. As we know today, it's thousands of players, and the purse is millions, and purses are millions and millions of dollars.
Benny spent time in Leavenworth. What did they nail him for?
Like Al Capone, they got him for tax evasion. And one of the surprises I found in my research was the effort to get Benny Binion went up through the FBI to J. Edgar Hoover, and then all the way to the White House. President Harry Truman was kept apprised of what was going on with the investigation of Binion. They were trying to show that they were clamping down on tax cheats and big-time individuals. So they went after Binion, and they put him in Leavenworth for a few years.
Hmm. You know, I was absolutely blown away by a quote you found from Steve Wynn, who said, "The most unforgettable character I've ever met in my entire life. He's a perfectly honest man." Okay, so what planet is Steve Wynn living on?
No, it's true. Benny was very honest.
Okay. A murderer? A guy that ordered hits? But all right, then. Okay.
I mean, there were some things he wouldn't talk about. For example, the people who ended up dead. But he was a straight shooter. I mean, he was very candid. That was one of the things people loved about him. He didn't blow any smoke. He was extremely approachable. He didn't even have an office. He had a table at the restaurant in the Horseshoe. Anybody could come up and talk to him, anybody in the world, and he would treat you like royalty, no matter who you were. And that's one of the things that endures still when people talk about him. He was what he always was, a very straight ahead, honest, fair dealing man from Texas who also had a very pragmatic, brutal streak. If you got in his way, you regretted it or you were dead.
I'll say.
A friend, you just could not have a better friend. And Steve Wynn was a friend. I mean, see, he was one of Steve Wynn's mentors.
Huh.
So it worked out quite well for Steve Wynn.
Are you planning a book on Steve Wynn?
No, I think my wife won't go with me to Las Vegas anymore. She's had too many trips out there, so I'm going to have to do something else now.
Oh.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I love the book, too. Tell us about Benny's kids. Did they go into the family business? Where are they now?
He had five children. One of them, Barbara, died either of a drug overdose or of a drug overdose. It was either accidental or intentional. That's still open to debate. Ted Binion, who's fairly famous, had a problem with heroin and strippers, and the combination of those things killed him. So three children survive. Jack Binion has been in the casino business for a long time. Has done really well. Becky Binion Bainin is still in Las Vegas, and she's been in and out of the casino business. And then Brenda Binion, who cooperated with me for the book, is a rancher in Amarillo, Texas. She never was in the casino business.
Hmm. So are you already at work on another book?
I'm working on a history of the Texas Rangers, not the baseball team, the law enforcement organization. There's a lot of, as with Binion, there are a lot of untold stories behind the legend. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, I can tell you I'm going to be looking for it because you are one incredible writer. Doug, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Elaine. It was a great pleasure.
All righty. Bye now.